The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Hello, everyone. Nice to see you. Is it on, Sue? Okay. So the topic that I've been exploring for the last little while has been difficult states of mind that tend to get in the way of our ability to be present. The Buddha termed these the hindrances, but he described them not as inherent parts of our minds, but as visitors, as things that come and go. And as such, we can, because they come and go, and the, a lot of the Buddha's teaching emphasized that there are conditions that create what happens in our experience. And so there are conditions that create these states of mind, as well as there are conditions that support our mind to move towards happiness and joy and peace and ease. And so a lot of the Buddha's teaching had to do with looking at what the conditions are, you know, what's happening in the mind that these difficult states visit us. And this, the good news is that because they are just visitors, understanding something about those conditions, the mind can begin to, we can begin to cultivate those things that allow us to let go of those difficult energies and to cultivate some of the states of mind that are more in alignment with well-being, in attunement with what our, you know, I think in many ways our organism wants to move towards well-being and ease. And yet so much confusion and conditioning and habits of our culture and how we've been brought up and how we've explored the world so far tend to get us caught in these difficult energies. And so the Buddha named five difficult energies that tend to get in the way of our ability to just be here. And these are sense desire, ill will, sleepiness, dullness, sloth and torpor, it's sometimes termed, restlessness, and doubt. So all of these, when we kind of see how these get in the way of being present, because when we are caught in sense desire, I mean, it's not that pleasurable things are a problem. Pleasure itself is not an issue, but so often around pleasure we are not able to just simply be present for, oh, this is pleasurable right now, because we're so busy trying to figure out how to keep it or how not to lose it. We can experience both desire and fear around pleasurable experience. So often there's a, or we're caught in kind of a pattern of like being a hamster in a hamster wheel of how do I get the next good thing in my life. Again, kind of an agitated quality of mind that's related to sense desire. And so that takes us away from being present now because we're focused outwards on getting something or controlling something or keeping something. Likewise with ill will, kind of similarly, only the opposite energy of wanting to get rid of something. If something's unpleasant out there, we feel like we're not going to be able to be happy unless we can get rid of it, control it, fix it, change it. This is a very familiar pattern for my mind. I began to discover as I started meditating just how much of my orientation to the world was through noticing what was unpleasant and trying to control the world so that the unpleasant would go away. It wasn't so much that I was looking for pleasant. I just wanted to get rid of unpleasant. And so this energy also keeps us out of the present moment, focused outwards on what's happening, trying to control, rather than just simply, oh, it's unpleasant right now. That's what's happening right now. We have a relationship to it that feels like it's a problem, needing to do something about it. And so that's another energy that tends to take us out of the present moment. Restlessness and sleepiness. If we're, you know, falling asleep, it's hard to be present. It's hard to be here. Our mind goes into an inner kind of fuzz, a checked out kind of state. Likewise, restlessness. And this is the topic I wanted to explore today. I've talked about those first three in the previous times. So restlessness is really the topic I'm going to look at today. Restlessness, the energy of both body and mind kind of being agitated, unsettled. And as that energy is unsettled, it's difficult for us to actually land in the present moment. Then there's doubt, which is the quality of mind that doesn't trust. It may not trust the teachings. It may not trust it may not have a sense of feeling safe to be present in the present moment. Or it may be a sense of, I don't know that I can do this. You know, a sense of doubt in our own capacity. And so that's also something that keeps us out of the actually meeting what's happening, mostly because our minds are saying either this isn't possible for me or I don't believe this does any good, something along those lines. That it just keeps us from actually landing here and connecting with what's happening. So I'll talk about that one the next time I'm here. After this two-week series, I'm away for 2 weeks on a retreat. And so Susan will be offering the Soft Mind series, which sounds lovely. So I'll talk about doubt when I come back from retreat. So today I wanted to really explore restlessness. You know, restlessness actually can be seen in many ways in all of the hindrances. The quality of restlessness is, it's got a physical side and it's got a mental side. The physical side may be experienced as, you know, just the body feeling like it's hard to sit still. I've had sometimes, you know, on long retreats in particular, it just feels almost like there's jumping beans under the skin. It's just like, I just can hardly stand to sit still. So it can have that quality in the body of a kind of an agitated physical state. So that's part of it, is this restless body. And then there's also a quality of mental restlessness. This is where the mind is kind of like unable to kind of stay here. It's like going out and thinking about, like, what do I need to do, or what did I do last week that I need to worry about, or what do I need to do next week that I need to worry about? Just this mind that's continually kind of searching and thinking and moving. So many different ways and reasons why our minds do this. You know, roughly we could think about the mind going to the past, perhaps through regrets or remorse. If you've done something in your life that you have a little bit of tension about, or a little bit of agitation, or a lot of tension or agitation about, sometimes the mind will have trouble staying present in the present moment. It keeps going back. What, you know, it's almost like the mind is trying to figure out how to create a better past so that I don't have to feel this right now. You know, it's like go back there and figure out how it could be better. And so there's that mind of revisiting the past. This can often be related to ethical, things that we've done that have created or contributed, maybe not even created, but contributed to suffering of a friend or somebody we don't know. Just, you know, something that we've done where we've seen, oh, that made somebody hurt. So the mind that goes back like that, there's two pieces to this, and I really want to tease these apart because when we've done something that creates or contributes to suffering, either for ourselves or others. Now, there is a feeling in the heart that recognizes, oh, it doesn't feel good to have, it doesn't feel good to have contributed to suffering in the world. When we are present, when we're aware, there is a quality of heart that understands, or is kind of attuned to our sense of ethical or moral sensibilities, that recognizes, oh, it doesn't feel good to hurt someone. That doesn't feel good. And so that is not restlessness. That's actually a kind of a moral attunement that gives us some feedback when we've contributed to suffering in the world. And yet what we often do when that happens, it doesn't feel good. I mean, it has a quality of, it feels like this to have had done something to contribute to suffering in the world. So there's a feeling of offness there. And partly because it's very hard for us, it seems to me, that a lot of people that I talk to, it's hard to actually sit with that feeling and not either tell ourselves we're a horrible person, you know, to really flagellate ourselves and like be, you know, have a sense of shame and, you know, the sense of I did this guilt, you know, did this really bad thing. You know, it's like that feeling of offness when we've done something wrong is like just a hairline different, just a hairline separated from feelings of guilt and shame. And so that feeling of offness when we've done something wrong can very easily trigger us into this state of restlessness. You know, for either going back thinking, how could I have done it better? Or, you know, or trying to convince ourselves that what we did actually really was okay, and it was really the issue of the other person. It wasn't my fault. It was, you know, their reactivity that created this issue. And so our minds spin trying to somehow, it's like we're trying to take care of that feeling by convincing ourselves that I didn't actually do anything. I didn't actually create that problem. And so the restlessness of mind can be caused by a reaction to that very natural moral compass or ethical sensibility that comes when we've done something that harmed somebody or created conditions of suffering. And so that the exploration there is around looking, you know, what's the part that's actually that feeling of just like, yeah, it doesn't feel good to have done that. When we can actually own that, what I've seen is that when I can actually own that, yeah, this is what it feels like to have taken an action that created some suffering and some pain in the world, then actually the restless mind begins to settle. It's like what we're doing there is aligning with the actual truth. It's like, yeah, this is what it's like. And so the mind doesn't have to be so frantic trying to revise the past. And instead it can land in the present and acknowledge, oh, yeah, this is what it feels like. And from that acknowledgement can start to step forward into making amends, if that's even possible, or at least learning from. We can learn from our mistakes. Learn from, wow, that situation, maybe I need to take some more time here. And so we can feeling of that ethical kind of sense of, ooh, that doesn't feel good to have hurt someone, that place we can land without restlessness and use it as a stepping stone to learn from. And so sometimes the restless mind comes from that revising or trying to revise or revisit the past. Sometimes it comes from the mind kind of going into the future, thinking about what we need to do, planning into the future. The mind thinking, wow, I've got all these things to do. How am I going to get this done? Or I've got these things to do. How do I decide between this and this? And the mind will get kind of churned up around making decisions, making plans. And again, it's not about the planning. It's not about the decisions. Our minds, we have to make decisions in the world. So, you know, if it were inherent in decision-making that we had to have a restless, agitated mind, well, then there wouldn't be much hope for us. But it's not inherent in the planning. It, again, is our relationship to it. It's our sense of, maybe it's our sense of needing to make the perfect decision, or it's our sense of having, you know, too much to do, maybe, you know, feeling our minds. This is a big place of restlessness in my experiences. There's so much to do that the mind spins trying to figure out how can it get it all done. And what I've seen is when I recognize actually that energy of the mind going, wow, how can I get all this done? That very energy is actually taking up energy that could be used to get some things done. And so it's kind of in the way. Again, it's these energies are in the way. And so, you know, our relationship, you know, looking at what's our relationship to the future, the past. And in this exploration of looking at how the restless mind comes into play in future and in past, and past and in future, we also see this connection to some of the other hindrances. You know, we go back into we revisit the past, our mind is agitated about the past, and, you know, aversion can creep in, or fear, or wanting it to be some other way. Likewise with the future, you know, we might have a sense of aversion towards having all these things to do, ill will towards being in a situation where we have to do so many things, or a sense of desire about, wow, I can't give up anything, you know, I want all of these things, you know, how do I make a choice? I can't have them all, and the mind restless about trying to figure out how to have everything it wants. That's a form of sense desire. So the quality of restlessness actually underlies or can underlie the other hindrances. It even can underlie sloth and torpor. The sense of sleepiness or dullness of mind. I actually noticed this yesterday that my mind was feeling really kind of sleepy. Dull and just like wanted to like just sink. And so I just, you know, I allowed that feeling. I allowed the feeling of the letting go, just watching it and knowing it. And I saw that what was happening associated with it was actually that the mind had been so busy that the mind was exhausted. And so the sloth and torpor was actually a response from having been so tied up and you know, thinking so much about what I needed to do and how I needed to do it and where I needed to go and get all these things done. So the restless mind had been so, the mind had been so active and busy that the mind basically got exhausted. And you see this with babies sometimes, you know, they are so interested in their world. And, you know, I was visiting a friend at one point, and she had a new, well, she was pretty young. The newborn was like, I don't know, maybe 6 months or something. So, you know, we had taken her out to a store. We were doing shopping, and she was like wide awake in the store. There were so many things to look at. And as soon as we walked out of the store, she crashed. You know, it's like just overstimulation. And so the mind will go from one to the other in response. And this is not, you know, we see it very clearly with children, but we can also see it in our own minds, this relationship. And doubt also, when we have doubt in our minds, when we think, I can't do this, or, you know, if we're thinking we can't do this, there's the mind is agitated around our feelings, some could be agitated around what our we feel like our capacities are, and feeling like we're, you know, we're not capable of something, and the mind can get all restless around that. Or it might be that we're doubting the teachings, and we're thinking about, well, how does this make sense? And I'm so confused. And so again, the mind spinning in thoughts around doubt. And so restlessness is actually a very foundational quality of mind that is connected to so much of the way it's hard to stay present. Pretty much by, almost by definition, if we're not settled and able to be present here and now, there is some aspect of restlessness happening. It's almost the definition of not being able to be here, is the mind has got a restless energy to it. Maybe connected to one of these others, but also can just be restlessness itself. Sometimes restlessness comes as a habit of mind. You know, I've talked about ways it can be specifically created based on, you know, specific incidents of thoughts of the past, specific things that we've done, or thoughts of the future, things we need to do. But also, restlessness can come as a habit of mind where we've kind of practiced it so much, or it's been our orientation to the way we live our lives, that it's hard not to be restless. You know, that it's like we've practiced it so much that it's like almost the default state of our mind that we, you know, engage in the world with, like, what's next? What's next? What's next? What do I have to do now? What do I have to do now? Sometimes I've seen, you know, I don't have anything to do, but the mind is like kind of uncomfortable with not having something to do. So it starts trying to create things to do. Have you noticed this kind of thing? Yeah. So it's like, so that's kind of the habit of restlessness. It's like the restless pattern is kind of churning. And because it's churning, it's like, wow, there must be something to do. And so, you know, that that experience of restlessness itself can just be something that's not necessarily connected to something specific. And so we need to start to learn, what is that experience? Can I sit with that? Can I feel into that? And I'll talk about that just a little bit. I'll talk about how to work with restlessness in just a moment. But I want to say one more piece about how, you know, restlessness kind of underlying the inability of our mind to be here. And that is, you know, there's kind of an understanding in Buddhist psychology that through our process of learning about our minds, learning how to let go, seeing and understanding these energies that keep us from being present, that they kind of fall away in stages. So this is a gradual path. It's a gradual wearing away of these energies. You know, it's such a wish of ours that we somehow see, oh yes, this is not helpful, so let me stop doing that. I see that restless mind is not helpful, or I see that restless mind keeps me from being present, so let me flip a switch and I just won't be restless anymore. It doesn't work that way. Over time, very gradually, the practice of mindfulness, the practice of meeting these difficult energies, and this is one of the good things about mindfulness, you know, these energies tend to keep us from being present. They tend to keep us from being present, but they don't inherently keep us from being present. There's like a habit of mind that will get lost and not be aware of what's happening when these energies are present. We tend to get lost in ill will. We tend to get lost in sense desire. We tend to get lost in sleepiness. We tend to get lost in restlessness. And yet it is possible to be aware, sense desire is happening right now. Sleepiness is happening right now. Restlessness is happening right now. The mindfulness can meet and be aware of these energies. And when mindfulness turns towards these energies, they no longer function as obstructions. They're no longer in the way of our ability to be here. They actually become, it's like compost. They become the very ground out of which our mindfulness begins to strengthen. You know, they begin to transform, like compost starts as garbage and it undergoes this process through heat, through decay, and it turns into fertile soil. It turns into something that is useful. And so likewise, these hindrances, these challenging states of mind, it's like the mindfulness is like the heat and the time of that works on the compost. So we hang out with, we notice these states of mind, and that ability, that connecting with, oh, this is what it's like when the mind is restless, or this is what it's like when there's sense desire, that begins to transform these energies, and we can learn. There's so much we can learn, and so much of the way that the letting go of these patterns happens. You know, when I said that we can't flip a switch to turn off restlessness, but being with it, being with the restlessness, being aware of it, allows us, it kind of creates the conditions for the mind to learn and understand how to start to reorient towards ease of mind, peace of mind. It seems to me that it's like a very natural part of our mind-body system, our organism. When it gets information, when it gets useful, skillful information, when we're actually present for these difficult states of mind, the mind itself begins to understand this isn't helpful. And the mind itself begins to gravitate to ease, to peace, to well-being. And so this is a gradual, it's gradual. We'd like to have the flip, switch to flip, but it's a gradual unfolding. Compost doesn't turn into great dirt in a day. It takes a long time. And so if we can think of that analogy and have some patience around this, then there will be the mindfulness and the investigation will begin to bear fruit in our minds. And so it's a gradual wearing away of these difficult states. And, you know, there's actually, in Buddhist psychology, there's said to be a kind of an order almost of the letting go that happens. The first of these five energies to begin to soften and release is doubt. And that we begin to actually have some sense of confidence in the practice, in the teachings, in our capacity. And so doubt begins to weaken, and we can more fully engage with meeting these other energies. So doubt is the first one that begins to weaken. After that, sense desire and ill will are next. It's kind of like the sense desire and ill will are the most obvious forms of how we struggle, how we suffer, and so they're easiest in a way to see and work with. And so those are the next two to fall away. Sleepiness, dullness, and restlessness are said to be there right until the very end, right until our mind finally kind of just recognizes, yeah, nothing to hold on to, nothing to... So they're going to be with us for a long time, and so learning how to work with them, very helpful. So let's talk a little bit about what it means to work with restlessness. So sometimes, and this is the first piece I'll say, you know, sometimes we need to recognize, and you know, a clear thing that's helpful for us is to recognize when is the restlessness so strong that I kind of need to change the channel. You know, it's like if the mind is going back to a particular thought of something in the past or into the future, and it's kind of stuck on that, it's like stuck in a little rut there, we might need to change the channel if we find it's kind of hard to let go. It's like whenever we are thinking about that situation, it's like just even going close to thinking about that situation immediately lands us in this restless, agitated mind. And so sometimes we have to kind of say, okay, well, do I actually need to think about this right now? That's a great reflection. And often, you know, there are times when we need to actually sit down and reflect on the past and the future, but it can be helpful to do that sometimes in a kind of a structured way. You know, when you're driving down the freeway, maybe you don't have to be thinking about these things in the past and the future, but instead being here for driving down the freeway. So setting aside, you know, not with aversion, not with a sense of this is bad or wrong, but just like, this is not the time. This is, it's not helpful to engage with that right now, and so can I set it aside for a period of time? So we all need to learn our edges around working with difficult states of mind, and restlessness is no exception there. So just beginning to recognize when it's helpful to change the channel, when it's helpful to turn our attention to something else. Can be helpful to just like see if you might just put your thoughts on something else. Very often the restless mind is associated with a lot of thinking. And so if you can, you know, let go of the thoughts, put your thoughts consciously on something else, that can help to alleviate that agitated mind. So we need to learn when is that helpful. But a large part of what I'd like to talk about today is what it means to actually be present for the state of restlessness. As I said a few minutes ago, restlessness itself is not an issue. It's kind of our habit. It's our habit of losing mindfulness with restlessness. And so can we learn to be present when the mind is restless? One of the first things we'll recognize when we begin to explore, what does it mean to be present when the mind, when there's physical restlessness or mental restlessness? It's unpleasant. It doesn't feel very good. And so that's part of what contributes to the restlessness. And in effect, restlessness fuels more restlessness, because when we touch into the experience of this jumpy body or this mind that's going chaotic, it's like, wow, that doesn't feel good. What can I do to get rid of that? And yet, you know, that kind of what can I do is a manifestation of restlessness. And so you're adding restlessness to restlessness. And so the exploration is, can I learn to be comfortable with the discomfort of restlessness? Can I learn to allow the discomfort of restlessness and not feel like I have to flee it or fix it? Can it be okay to just experience this? In sitting meditation, we can play with this, you know, learn how to get familiar with being present for restlessness in sitting meditation. Talking first about the physical side of it, that kind of jumping bean kind of quality. What I found most helpful there's some tools that help the mind kind of get a little bit of balance around this state. And the biggest one for me around restlessness is settling back, like having a broader picture, not like trying to focus down on this experience of restlessness. When we talk about being present for something and knowing it, meeting it, sometimes the idea in the mind is, oh, I'm supposed to like put it under a microscope and really get to know it. And with restlessness, that tends to actually exacerbate the issue. And so kind of more like broad, there's restlessness. It's almost like there's in physics, there's something where if you have a small container and particles in that container that have a certain speed to them, you know, it's like they're in the small container, they're all churned up and moving very quickly. But if you make it a bigger container, there's a lot more space for those particles to move around. The mind is kind of that way too. If we have a sense of creating space in our minds, it sounds counterintuitive, but sometimes it's like, let the restlessness get as big as it wants to. Let the whole room contain that restlessness. It doesn't just have to, it's like a mental shift. It's like a mental, almost an imagination or something. Just like allow the feeling of restlessness in the body to get as big as it wants to. It has a much more soft feeling when it feels like it's got space. And so that's one movement. Let the attention get big. You know, just like, well, you could open your eyes and just like allow the restlessness to be held in the room, or go outside and let nature take it. At one point, I was walking in the hills in Spirit Rock. I had a mind that was feeling pretty agitated, and I was like walking around, and at one point I stood in front of this tree, and it's like this tree seemed so friendly, and I thought, this is like really unusual for me. I don't typically relate in this way, but I was standing in front of this tree, and it felt like this tree was just saying, yeah, I'll take it. It's like, okay. so just kind of allowing that energy to not be held so tightly in the system, kind of broadening the attention. With restless mind, you know, there can kind of be a similar thing of like, you know, again, not trying to constrict, you know, the restless mind itself has a constricted quality to it because it's spinning in this hamster wheel. It's kind of got this. It may be going, oh, what about that? And what about that? And what about that? But it's kind of caught in that pattern itself. And so again, you know, expanding. What else is happening here? What else is going on? For myself, you know, an example of this. It's quite interesting, actually. Sometimes, you know, we have this idea that when the mind is really turned up like that, at least I had this idea, you know, when the mind is really turned up like that, you know, it doesn't feel good, and it's like, well, something pretty, you know, unfortunate must be going on in the mind, you know. It's like, you know, caught by something. Some kind of greed or aversion. So one time I was driving, and I noticed the mind in this spinning forward. It's like, oh, I got to do that and that and that and that and make sure that this person knows that and this person knows that and this person. It's like, whoa, okay, I'm driving here. Okay, do I need to do this now? Come back. And so, you know, I was just trying to come back, trying to come back. But it kept happening. It's like it had so much power, so much force. It just kept happening. And so rather than either like trying to like figure it out or try to stay here because it had so much power that it was just like taking me out, you know, it was taking me away, I asked the question, well, what else is going on here? You know, it's like getting a little broader. You know, so just like step back and, oh, what else is happening right now? And what I discovered when I did that, when I stepped back, it's like, what's happening right now? I discovered that I was really happy. I had not had a clue that I was really happy. And what was going on around that happiness, kind of seeing in retrospect, was that the mind was like, oh, wow, happiness, that feels pretty good. What can I do? How do I keep this? And it just... it spun out so fast that I didn't even know I was happy. So, you know, this is kind of a, you know, one of the carrots around looking at these entrances. You know, they don't always reveal, they don't always mask unwholesomeness. And when I actually landed in this, it's like, wow, there was a relationship to that happiness that was skewed. How do I keep this? How do I fix this? How do I like make sure this stays? Oh, I need to make sure that person knows that and that person knows that. And it's like, what about just feeling the happiness right now? When I could land there, the restlessness went away and it was just a beautiful state. It was just delightful, expansive feeling of happiness in the moment. So sometimes these difficult states actually mask things that we you know, like joy or delight or ease or peace, sometimes we are not so comfortable just in those states. So letting yourself explore, letting yourself recognize what's actually going on here. So that question, what else is happening here? You know, sometimes it might reveal, a hook into something or other, but then we can be present for that. So what else is kind of the broader, what else is happening? Body awareness can be really helpful, especially when the mind is spinning in thoughts, when there's a lot of restlessness in the mind, it's often connected with thinking. And so if you can begin to, like, see if you can let go of the tendency to be in the world of thoughts, and just see if you can land in, and how is the body right now? Could be, you know, that feeling, a little bit of agitation, or it might begin to reveal some underlying emotions like fear or confusion or pride or regret, you know. So it could begin to reveal the underlying emotional tone to just check into the body. And it's often easier to stay present, to be mindful, to actually stay in the present moment when we're connected to the body instead of when we're in the spinning of our thoughts. It is possible to be mindful of thinking. It's possible to be aware of thoughts. And yet, especially in our daily lives, really helpful to recognize when we're caught by thinking and coming into the body, seeing if we can use that as a tool to ground ourselves. Even for just a few moments, it'll be very helpful to kind of counteract that pull towards the restless mind. Let's see what else. Now, one more piece I think I'll just mention as a tool. This is a little subtler, but it may resonate for some of you. So it's also possible, rather than having kind of a focused sense of, okay, restlessness is happening, let me check out the body, let me, like, notice what thoughts are happening, what, you know, just what's the emotion, rather than looking more specifically at what's going on, it's also possible to just simply recognize, oh, restlessness, that's what's happening. Knowing that restlessness is happening. In a really simple, the simplest of ways, kind of like I was talking about in the guided meditation, you're breathing in, knowing that you're breathing in. Just knowing that. It's also, we can also just know, oh, restlessness is happening. If we can step back to awareness of restlessness, like every experience, there's the thing that's happening, in this case, restlessness, and there's the possibility of the awareness of that experience. Awareness is a very, like, neutral quality of mind. If you think about a mirror, it just reflects. You know, a mirror could reflect a whirling sandstorm, and the mirror doesn't care what it reflects. Likewise with awareness. Awareness, the function of awareness is simply to know what's happening. The function of awareness itself is not impacted by what it knows. It just knows. And so sometimes we can check into that or kind of orient to, oh, knowing restlessness is happening. There is restlessness, but knowing restlessness is happening. It's kind of like stepping into the mirror. And in stepping into the mirror, some of the qualities of that, which is just that it doesn't have a sense of good or bad about what it knows. It's got a very balanced perspective, this awareness. And sometimes if we can just awareness of restlessness is happening, then we can touch into some of those qualities of just like, it's just restlessness. It's just a state of mind that is here now. It has its conditions, and it will go. And so we can kind of, it's almost like taking our foot off the gas pedal, or, you know, it's just putting our minds into a more neutral space where those conditions can unfold, not, and we see that the conditions themselves, the restlessness itself doesn't impact this awareness. And the awareness can just watch that come and go. There have been times in my practice in watching states like this that it's like, oh, knowing that's happening. And sometimes using that as a reminder, knowing restlessness, actually saying that to yourself, it's almost like a little note. It's slightly different than, oh, restlessness. Restlessness is happening. You're checking back and connected to, oh, knowing restlessness is happening. If you step back into that, sometimes the more expansive and spacious quality of that knowing can begin to be felt. And so it's like that restlessness is happening, but it's got more of a space in which it's okay that it's happening. It's just a state of mind. And the mind can just be, oh, balanced and at ease. And so in that knowing, there can be a sense of ease or peace or even joy while knowing something challenging. It's kind of startling sometimes when we understand that perspective, when we begin to touch into that possibility of knowing, oh, this is what's happening. You may be watching aversion. You may be watching, you know, confusion, or you might be watching, you know, painful fear. You might be watching any of those things, and yet, oh, fear is what's happening. And there can be just this delight that happens right while we're experiencing or knowing something challenging. There can be a balance of mind that, and we can begin to touch into the qualities of that balanced mind, the kindness of that perspective, the balance of that perspective that can bring in states like delight or tranquility or peace or ease right in the midst of it. In the midst of it happening. So, comments, thoughts? Yeah, and we'll use the mics so that they can be recorded.
Thanks. Wow.
Is the green light on that? Let's see.
Yes.
Okay, great.
Okay, it is. Aversion. Aversion and restlessness and joy. I can't even comprehend because aversion is painful to me. It's
yes.
The total opposite of joy.
Yeah.
I recognize restlessness and try to sit with it, but it builds.
The restlessness builds.
Right,
when you try to sit with it, the restlessness builds. Uh-huh, yeah.
It doesn't, you know, being aware of it, maybe I'm not there yet.
So sometimes if we notice, if we're attempting to be present for something, like, okay, yep, I see the restlessness, and it seems to get stronger while you're trying to pay attention to it. You know, at that point, you know, if you've played with it for a little while, and you're seeing that it's getting stronger, that's probably a time to recognize, okay, maybe I need to put my attention on something else. Can I? Yeah. Change the channel. Open your eyes. Do something else. You've been working with it a little bit, but it's like the pattern of restlessness is like stronger than your capacity to meet it with mindfulness. And so at that point, it's like not putting it aside with anger or aversion. It's like, okay, yeah, this is not the time. We see with wisdom. We can see with wisdom that, yeah, when I'm trying to be mindful of this, it's actually making me feel more restless. So somehow it's not quite the time. And so, you know,
right.
Sometimes it might be, you know, just letting your attention, go to hearing. You know, sometimes hearing is a good tool to explore. So it's like, you know, take in, like almost like you're listening to music, just take in the sounds, not trying to like find anything, but just like settle back and let the sounds be there. Because, you know, sometimes the attention to hearing, it's much more receptive. We realize we can't control the sounds. So it's like we settle back and just take in the sounds. Or you could even use something like music if that's helpful for you. But, you know, so giving yourself a little break from trying to be present with the restlessness if you see that it's getting worse.
Can I give you an example?
Sure.
Okay. So we have a little bit of remodeling going on, and the contractor has all his stuff in my space, in a space that is cluttered, and I have had to, you know, deal with it for like 3 weeks. Then we have somebody move into our house, and she's using my space to move in, and it's now getting more and more cluttered with her clutter in her boxes, and the contractor comes over, there's more clutter, and now it's just building. The
yeah.
clutter is building, and uh-huh. my restlessness is building with the clutter.
Yes.
And, you know, I keep saying, when are you going to get it out? And, you know, and then that delays, and something else happens, and everything's building, building, building. Finally, the contractor came yesterday, and I said, you know, this was the day, you know, you're way past, you're going to get the clutter. Oh, no, now there's another emergency, you know, at another place. I said, no, you have to get it out. And, you know, I couldn't take it anymore.
Yeah.
I said, I'll help you. I'm getting it out. I'll put it in your truck. things build.
Yeah.
And how could I deal with that? When the clutter and restlessness is building like that.
And so the part of what we need to recognize is begin to explore, you know, what's happening there.
Yeah.
That's a very challenging situation because you're in that space. You're seeing it all the time.
Right.
So it's not like you can really just like, I mean, you could go outside and give yourself a break from it, but, you know, so you're seeing it all the time. But one thing to just recognize is, essentially, you know, if we believe, and this is kind of a whole shift of perspective, if we believe that our ease of mind, our peace, depends on other people's actions and the state of the world, we're never going to find happiness. And so it's not true that our ease and peace depends on other people, but our habit of mind is to believe that. Our habit of mind is to think, I need to fix this, I need to change this. And so this exploration, you know, in this case, you haven't had a lot of control. Yesterday, it sounds like you got to the point where it's like, no, I'm just going to do something here. And, you know, so it got to the point where you took some action. And no, that's not necessarily a bad thing, you know, to do that. But to notice that it's the aversion that's motivating that.
Yeah, the aversion and restlessness are so
tight. They're so tightly together. Yeah, so, you know, just to recognize that, you know, a way to explore it, I mean, is just to see what it is that's triggering it. I mean, for you, pretty much probably every time you walk in your house, there it is, that there's the agitation of seeing the mess. But when you're not in your house, like when you're here, for instance, like, did it come up in your thoughts? In your
no.
Okay. And so was it there? Was the restlessness there? Here? Okay, that's a great thing. That's a great thing to notice. Yes, that's a great thing to notice. The conditions are important, right? So you can take a break from it. And that's kind of what I mean by changing the channel. So if you see it's not possible for you to have ease in the situation, then definitely coming here is great, you know. Like, this gives you a break. And you can begin to learn something about how it works. I mean, you might notice from time to time, like when you're driving home, for instance, you might start to, you know, the mind might project into, oh, I'm getting ready to go home. It'll create an image of, this is what it's going to be like at home. And boom, there's a restlessness right there. And so noticing how the thoughts also trigger it. So, you know, just noticing the conditions. And, you know, it is challenging, you know, to have other people in your space, to have not have control. And yet it's a, you know, in this case, it's a pretty small kind of lack of control. You know, when we think about the bigger, this can also be a helpful reflection. We think about the bigger picture of other people in other parts of the world, the lack of control they have over their ability to feed themselves, or, you know, in war situation, it's like, okay, somebody said one helpful reflection is, this is first world dukkha. You know, this is first world suffering, you know, and it's like, okay, yes. And sometimes we can actually appreciate, okay, you know, it's first world suffering. You know, I'm not in a situation where it's like, what is not wrong here? I have a roof over my head.
Right.
I have the ability to feed myself. You know, so sometimes coming back to that, what is not wrong here? It's like we tend to focus on what we think is wrong. So that can sometimes help too. Yeah. And we need to stop. So thank you.